Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav v terminu Ereš intervjuja. Dolgo smo čakali in jo končno tudi dočakali. Ena izmed najbolj posebnih in intrigantnih zasedb ameriškega neodvisnega roka v zadnjih letih, zasedbo Dirhuf iz San Francisca, ki bo nocoj ob 9. uri večerni nastopila v Centru urbane kulture Kinu Šiška. Preden damo besedo našim gostom oziroma gostoma, nekaj osnovnih informacij o skupini. Njena zgodba se je začela v prvi polovici 90-ih let s prvo izmed več inkarnacij, ki jih je doživela do danes. Trenutno deluje kot kvartet, ki ga sestavljajo Greg Sonje, bobni klaviature, Satomi Matsuzaki na basu in vokalu, John Dietrich kitara in še en kitarist Ed Rodriguez na kitari. Skupina se lahko pohvali izjemno diskografijo za relativno kratko obdobje, recimo dobrih desetih letih oziroma 13 so izdali 10 plošč in tudi po številnih sodelovanjih in stranskih projektih. Njen sloves pa v zadnjih letih strmo raste, ne nazadnje tudi zaradi precejšnje eklektičnosti muzike, ki jo igrajo. Pogovor smo uvedli z uvodnim komadom The Tears in Music of Love z njihove zadnje plošče Offend Maggie, ki je šla oktobra 2008 pri njihovi dolgoletni založbi Kill Rock Stars. Zdaj pa v studiu pozdravljam Erika in Johna. Ed and Johna.
Hello.
And welcome and thanks for coming
Thank
to the
you.
Studio. You are in the middle of your European tour for almost 10 days, starting in Moscow. And for the beginning, is everything going according to plan or...
According to plan. Well, we didn't, I guess we didn't really have a plan, but yeah, no, it's been going great. The volcano happened. Yeah. We were planning on that. So that was exactly what we were hoping was going to happen. No, it's been great. It's been an exciting tour. We've gotten to play in several places that we've never played before. Including Ljubljana, and I keep having a hard time pronouncing it because I think that there's an L after the B, so I think it goes Ljubljana.
It's classical.
Yeah, I really have a hard time. Do a lot of people do that?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Ljubljana.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we've actually we've been, or Ed and I have been to Slovenia before, but we were in Ilirska Bistrica.
Yeah. Okay.
And with another band that we're in, and so but we're excited to be here and yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So since you've been here for the first time, have you got to know any local interesting music in these past days that you've been to Russia, to Poland, to Slovakia? Did you have time to hear anything?
Well, I mean, I guess we actually part of this tour was we curated a festival.
That's why
in Belgium.
Yeah,
ah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that you're interested.
Right. So basically, on that festival was a band called Baba, who are from St. Petersburg, and basically we played in St. Petersburg maybe a year ago, and they were on the show, and basically for this festival we got to choose bands, which was the first time we'd ever had the chance to do this. So we were very excited to ask them, and that's been super fun. And we also played, we played with Kristen, who we've also played with before. We played with them in Warsaw? Is that right?
Warsaw? Possibly.
Or, yes, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been great. The last couple nights we've actually not played with opening bands, so we're really looking forward to tonight.
Maybe some more information about this festival in Kortrijk in Belgium, because you were, as you said, curating the festival, and you chose a lot of European bands from various musical backgrounds. How did you decide to choose what you've chosen?
It started out as a huge list. You know, of course there was like a half dozen or so that were immediate pop to our minds, like our friend Tomas.
Los El Mar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and and then we just kind of kept listening to each other's suggestions until the list came down to things that everybody was excited about. And it was kind of just, it was pretty amazing just sort of setting up this situation, you're kind of developing this commune or something, this little community that would exist for, this little perfect world that would exist for a weekend you could run like, I haven't felt like this in a long time where I was excited for everything that was happening and running from, making sure I was there right the split second everything started and staying there until it stopped. And there was a lot of things that I didn't know the band very well beforehand. It was somebody else's choice, immediately I could understand why one of the other members loved this band so much.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's kind of like, I felt very, how do you put it? I mean, I think I'm getting distracted by the music, sorry. No, it's okay, but...
what is this noise?
I know, exactly. Just haven't listened to this in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just one of these things where we asked a whole bunch of bands, many of whom, you know, didn't have lots of fans in Kortrijk, Belgium. Mm-hmm. And so we were worried that A, no one would show up, and that B, and we assumed, you know, if people were going to come, they would probably, you know, hopefully get into the music that we are into. But basically, I think it ended up being like something really special for everybody there. Mm-hmm. Like all the bands and all the people who came and the people who put on the festival. It was something just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You really had this feeling that everybody was in this thing together, and we were experiencing everything and being, you know, mm-hmm. destroyed by these incredible musical experiences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, and together in a room together. And, yeah. And so you had this feeling by the end of the weekend that we had all been through something together, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really, it was an unbelievable experience. And the great thing is, I mean, it was basically in one venue. There was one concert that was in a sort of classical venue that was like 100 meters from, yeah. from the other venue. Mm-hmm. But
I was also asking you this question because ATP has the same policy mm-hmm. of curating. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably is a bit of a different event nowadays because it's bigger yeah. and more expensive right. and different names come. So that's why probably it was a different experience. You play it at ATP, you know?
Yeah, many, yeah, many times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it's great. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, for us in this situation, in a way, we were in an admirable position because there was very little pressure from Tom, who was putting on the festival. Like we didn't need to have Sonic Youth play.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you know, as much mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, I love to see Sonic Youth, but it's like one of these things where we were able to invite bands that no one, like, it's just like yeah. our friend who lives in a shack with no electricity in the countryside outside of Bordeaux, yeah. like, we could be like, Thomas, come yeah, play, because yeah, yeah. he's a yeah, master, yeah, yeah. and that's the thing, no, you know, and yeah. like, so, it was really like, you know, it's I'm really happy that ATP exists, and I yeah, think it really fills an amazing vacuum, you mm-hmm. know, internationally. But I think that this was just like its own thing, you yeah. know? Mm-hmm.
The second we started thinking of who we really wanted to see, and the list started growing for Tom, the festival organizer, he saw the list and, you know, probably didn't recognize almost everyone on the list, and his take on it, rather than to put pressure on us to be like, we need, you know, some mm-hmm. names, his mm-hmm. pressure on it was to be like, oh, this festival will be about discovery. You know, yeah, it's like yeah. he changed the approach of the festival to mm-hmm. like this being the idea is just like share, he embraced the fact we were inviting like friends, like mm-hmm. like the majority of things were friends or music that we wanted to see ourselves and wanted others to see. Like there was Paolo Pandolfo played and did just like Bach pieces in his own like yeah. sort of, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing to you know these things that never would have happened in, mm-hmm. in any other situation. And then the kids played later on, you know, it's a yeah. Belgian like punk rock band mm-hmm. and definitely. I mean, ATP is like sort of. I'm so happy it also exists because it's like a fantasy sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's like like a group of people sitting around like okay. putting together their dream show.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, 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 exactly.
Okay. You've mentioned in your interviews that there was a point in your career when you decided to quit your daily jobs and try to live by playing and recording. And I was wondering, did this factor influenced in any way your process of making music?
The writing process.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, initially, basically what happened is we really realized that, I mean, not even realized, we hoped that it would be possible if we quit our day jobs. We just realized, okay, if we wanted to tour, but we weren't able to tour because of our jobs, we wanted to be able to make enough money off touring so that we could quit our jobs, but we couldn't do that until we quit our jobs. So we all just took a leap, you know, and the first couple of years, I mean, we basically were sort of living off of a little bit of money that we were able to save beforehand. So we effectively lost money for years. But now basically we're at a place where we can tour and we can and live, and we're very lucky, and we're extremely unusual in that respect, you know. As far as the writing goes, I mean, it's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's that there are the occasional feelings of pressure to keep working hard, you know. I don't think that there's really a pressure of like
making music.
This is everybody loves doing this, and obviously none of us got into it to make money, because this is like the worst thing you could possibly do to do that. But
I didn't mean so much that you would compromise your writing, but feel I don't know, less secured from economical point of view, or
right.
In a way, I feel more secure than when I had it. Mm-hmm. Like I joined the band 2 years ago, and coincidentally, I went in and lost my job the day before John asked me on behalf of the band to join the band, and in a way, I feel like it's kind of. I feel safer
right.
doing this than I do.
Yeah, like having more time.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. I mean, this whole economic, you know, freak out has, you know, been happening. And, I mean, it's been happening all over the place, you know, for a long period of time in various, you know, times. But basically, like, in the U.S., we started hearing about, basically it was just like this abstract thing that no one really knew anybody who was being affected by it. And then all of a sudden it was really like, we were on tour, bands we knew were on tour, and all of a sudden it's just like, people aren't coming, or people are coming, but it's just less than before. But it really made us realize, like, but then I started to hear about lots of people who were getting laid off and stuff, and like, it really made me appreciate the fact that, in a way, like, on that tour, maybe a few less people came, but you had this feeling that the people who came really needed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, you had this feeling like that there was a that we were in this like unusual position where actually people always want and need music, need mm-hmm. art. You know what I mean? And I feel like as long as we sort of keep working and keep trying to, you know, be honest about what we're doing, like, hopefully that will work, you know, it may turn out not to at some point. But for the time being, we're doing all right.
Okay, so you are basically enjoying it. And this is the next question, because in your music there is this element of play and fun often present, and I'm wondering whether this is coming from your enjoyment and you having fun while making it. But on the other side, it seems that this spontaneity needs to be controlled while working. How much of this, you know, fun and spontaneity is actually...
Well, it's a great question. No one's ever asked that question, and I think it's a great question. I mean, I think it's both. I mean, basically, I think, you know... Put it this way, we prepare a lot in order to, but before we go on tour, and we rehearse very hard, and we, those rehearsals are often, we're going through everything with a, you know, a fine tooth comb, and trying to make sure that we come up with versions of these, of this material that we feel sure about, and that we are happy to present to people. And then, at the same time, when you go out in front of people and something different happens every night, and you're always reacting to that, and our music changes constantly on tour. I mean, and it's, and we were dealing with that today at Soundcheck, mm-hmm. just like dealing with like changes that people have made in their parts, or changes that need to be made, or this kind of thing. And but basically, in that whole equation is the experience of being in a new place, being with new people, interacting with mm-hmm. an audience, and I guess you're, if I understand your question, it's kind of like, are we really happy, or are we presenting happiness? Is that the question?
No, I was more, I meant while you are composing.
Yeah.
Is it very premeditated?
Well, generally, you know, everybody comes in it with the song completely written. Mm-hmm. Like all four of us, right? And we would go to practice and like, you know, one person might be like, mm-hmm. okay, here's a song, show it to everybody, and we try it, you know, mm-hmm. and the thing is, as far as us having we definitely have fun when we practice and when we do everything, because that's a big part of it. And another part of it is everybody is kind of open to anything, mm-hmm. and doesn't bring a song in and then listens to it with blinders on. They like everybody is really open to hearing like mm-hmm. things that they didn't expect, mm-hmm. and changing the songs and very open to like it's completely democratic, where, you know, mm-hmm. somebody could bring in something they think is completely done, and one person might go, I don't like this part at all, I like this, I do this, and then, you know, and then that, you know, things will start to change. Okay. It's very open, isn't it? Yeah.
You've just re-released two of your records, Apollo and Green Cosmos EP, for this year's Record Store Day. Why did you choose these two records?
Why those two records? Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, it was just a conversation with the record label, and Ofen Maggie is still available on vinyl. Just basically issues like that. Certain things are still available. Actually, the insane thing is I actually still have a ton of other LPs in my basement. I just remembered. But anyway, yeah, it was just sort of, I mean, it was just, you know, a decision made with the record.
Yeah.
Nothing
so
interesting.
That's deeper. And the label is Kill Rock Stars, with which you've been from the beginning. And that's like 15 years or something. Can you see, maybe, or can you tell us how it's adapting to this new, to the changes of music business?
Right.
Because you are still with them, so obviously they have some strategies how to survive.
Right.
Other labels don't go so.
You know, I don't know. Do you really know? I know they are. I mean, yeah. I know they're doing things. Mm-hmm. They are adapting.
Yeah. I think from what I've seen with everyone, the fact that the economic situation in the world has changed is kind of created an environment where everybody has to keep experimenting, and everything that they might have known at one time or another has kind of gone out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
Like our booking agent in the U.S. mm-hmm. was like that. He said, you know, a few years ago he could tell you, you know, like of Montreal in Austin on Thursday night, this many people will show up, this is what will happen. Mm-hmm. And he said now he has no idea. Mm-hmm. Like he's been doing it for years and years and years, and he said he can't figure out, you know. And I think what's good about Kill Rock Stars is they're constantly trying things, you know.
Yeah.
They're like each year I see them like do something that they hadn't done the year before to try and figure out what's working and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the main reason that that we stay with them is because the people there are so great, and they put up with us, you know, like having 20 emails a day from us, and that's every, you know, aspect of everything. We just talk to them endlessly.
Yeah.
And it's just we know them so well at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I also just think like they have they've always kept things sort of small, And they don't have a massive staff. Like, you know, they have basically like five people or something there. And
and they've like made rooms is the
and they just have made a point of just trying to, well, just putting out stuff that they believe in and then just like not letting it get away from them. Okay. You know what I mean? Like not farming out jobs to other people and just trying to keep it something that they can stay on top of. And it seems like they're very, like that's something that they're very conscious of these days.
There is one another exciting project ahead of you. You're going to perform Joy Division's Unknown Pleasure at Donau's Festival in Austrian Krems with Shushu.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the role of Joy Division in the life of Deerhoof?
well, it's become a huge role.
It's right now it's like hours and hours a day. Like we've been we all have been playing it in the van and stuff constantly.
And going through and going like live through, recordings and videos and and just trying to figure out how we approach this material.
Yeah.
And what's the secret? Can you reveal? What's
the secret? It's just different things come out every day. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have like this record that you've listened to a bunch and then when it comes time to actually perform the songs, it turns into a whole different thing. Where, you know, before, like when I'd listen to that record, I'd just like listen to it, you know, and I'd just like enjoy it and sing along with this part I remember the lyrics and now it's like you know sitting there forever going just trying to find the little, you know, we're having these
like
minor rhythmic discussions in the van about
when you play one note and then you play another note, but do you hold the first note or do you mute the first note? And it's just like we're all listening to it, it's like no, you hold it. And then you mute it.
Yeah. But because there's so many qualities in that there about, you know, what they were doing that were just so natural to like I have all the, you know, the documentaries and I work at this video store in San Francisco, and fortunately we had like a bunch of like bootleg Joy Division performances and just, you know, the Joy Division movie and everything, and it's great to like watch to hear the guys talk about it, and they're just like, oh yeah, I started playing bass high because I couldn't hear my amp. Yeah, I couldn't hear my bass over the guitar amp because
it's so loud. And so that's why all those bass parts.
And then just like all these things that were just came out because they're so natural. And then watching all the live things and seeing the songs change. And then something that's so natural for this specific group of people, which is why it was so special. And then you're trying to understand, like you're trying to play it, and then you play it and you realize that without understanding those little details that they didn't think about and, you know, that are unnatural to us, that were natural to them, like that just sounds like a bar band, and you have to like really it turns into this like it's weird because it turns into this like, you know, just realizing how deep you have to go
actually get at some of the stuff that they were trying to get at, try to get at it. You
definitely
know?
and the more that we do it, the closer you get to everything and real and like it's funny because we talk about it, it's like the every day that passes and the little deeper bit that we go into it, we're like we're like, oh, this is gonna be good. We're gonna do this well.
And seeing these live videos too, for me, like that was like Ed had found these live videos. And I was just like seeing that stuff. I was like, I see. Like I know. Now I know. Like I'm really excited because I mean, we're getting into all these details, and then like when we play it, it's really gonna hopefully open up. And like there'll be another thing entirely playing with Jamie.
Yeah,
because
Jamie's gonna be like there's, I can't think of another person. Jamie,
he's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be so good.
Yeah, we haven't rehearsed. We're gonna have like a day and a half of rehearsal, so hopefully that's enough. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe just the last question. What about new record? We're working on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've all been writing on our own, and we've been talking about it, and we've been recording on our own, and then basically we'll start working on things together in May. And then the plan is the record will come out next January.
Okay. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's really great question.
Z nami sta bila Ed in John iz skupine Dirhuf, ki nocoj nastopi skupaj skupino Repetitor v kinu Šiška. Še enkrat vsi lepo, lepo vabljeni na ta koncert. Za konec pa si privoščimo še en komad plus 81 Dirhuf.
Intervju Radija Študent.